You're listening to Inside Chicago Government, CHIGOV, as in victory.com.
Live from the Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. Mr. Bike is back. I repeat, Mr. Bike is back. Dave Glowatz, our city council correspondent. And now your host, Adam Sandler, correspondent. He loves that guy. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
I love Adam Sandler. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Anyway, independent journalist Dave Glowatz does audio and print reporting on Chicagoland government. Find his work on the web at shygov.com and follow him at facebook.com/insidegov.
That's forward slash.
Get it right, God.
Shygov.com.
It's not as if you're reading it or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Make Fun of the Guy with Dyslexia. Oh, really? Really caring guy he is.
No one's safe on the Ben Jarofsky Show.
I think backslash goes back to AOL. Well, wait, don't you still have an AOL?
You got mail.
Yes. Yes. And it does say that. Except I have the sound down. But here's the most important thing. Shygov.com. People are going, I thought he's Mr. Bike. Yeah, he's Mr. Bike, but he doesn't ring the bell anymore. All right?
The bell is taking some time off because it was ringing in the new year quite heavily.
Oh, that was good.
He's got, a million of them.
Mr. Bike.
That's correct.
Mr. Bike.
That's correct.
Mueller loves Mr. Bike. All right. So before we bring
mutual.
Dave's got all these clips from the city council meeting went down Wednesday. We're going to analyze and break it apart. Is that correct?
Where a lot of important city business got done. Mm-hmm. At about 4.5 hours, it wasn't the longest city council meeting I've seen, but it was something of a marathon. But a couple of hours of those were spent doing just honors. You're hearing members of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, which was honored for 112 years of existence. Several city council members are members. This is a female African-American sorority, and the city council spent 20 minutes honoring them and the little concert that went on.
Who was singing?
Dozens of their members were in the audience.
Oh, and they sang that.
They were being led by Alderwoman Sophia King.
Fourth Ward. For 10 trivia points, who was her predecessor as the alderman of the Fourth Ward?
I don't know that.
Dennis?
I don't know.
Will Burns. Continue.
Oh, what a dork.
10 trivia points. What other governmental body did Will Burns serve?
Oh, come showdown. On. We got showdown,
come
baby.
On, man. Come on. You think I was just born yesterday? Give me the ball.
All right.
Stay
right. That was easy.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's get back to
five more trivia points. To what private sector?
Airbnb.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, I wish I had the bell.
Do you know who the other alderwomen are who are a member of this sorority?
That would be Alderman Michelle, who does call herself Alderman, Michelle Harris.
Okay.
And Alderman Leslie Hairston.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So did they join in the singing?
I wasn't looking at them during the singing. I was looking at the audience because it was pretty impressive, all these ladies. I don't know if you were paying attention, but it was pretty impressive harmony too,
yeah,
that they were doing.
Way and better than anything we do on this show, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the day is young. In addition to that 20-minute honorarium, there were several other honors. There was an honor for a prominent Chicago clergyman, the Reverend Clay Evans, who recently deceased. They honored him for about a half hour. They honored the closing of the theater show Hamilton. They had the main actor there from Hamilton, and they honored that show for about 40 minutes.
My God, 40 minutes?
40 minutes.
So what did they, when they're honoring?
Each alderman got to stand up and say how they took their children to it, and their children are singing the songs from the show at home. Things like what economic boost it was to the city because it brought so many people to spend money on dinner and transportation, things of that nature.
Hmm.
They honored the retirement of 38th Ward Alderman Nick Spazzato from the Chicago Fire Department.
Hmm.
They did that for about 15 minutes.
That's it? Wait a minute. Hamilton gets 40 minutes and our good friend Nick Spazzato only gets 15?
In their defense, several of them said that Spazzato specifically asked them not to like.
I don't believe any of that. Oh,
so,
don't say anything. Okay, come on.
We're an hour and a half into the meeting and I'm sitting there thinking, I got to bring audio clips to Ben's show.
Yeah.
And what am I going to, you know, it's like... And then, you know, that city council, they came through for us.
Yeah, just when you least expected it.
What happened then was the dramatic moment, the approval of a resolution that calls for the chief purchasing officer and the Department of Procurement Services to make business development resources available to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender business enterprises, which gives us a new acronym, LGBTBEs. That's what they're called. The resolution, I have a copy of it right here.
Oh,
if you're keeping score at home, it's SR2019-685.
Okay.
Sponsored by the mayor, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and Alderman Andre Vasquez of the 40th Ward. Originally introduced to the city council in September of 2019. And if I'm not mistaken, you guys spoke about this recently.
Yes.
Just a couple of days ago. You spoke about it after it passed the City Council Committee on Contracting Oversight and Equity.
We also spoke about it earlier today. We're speaking a lot about it.
That approval happened the day before the City Council meeting. So immediately the following day, the Sun-Times,
my beloved bright one,
put it on the front page, City Hall contract drama. Apparently some of the aldermen in the City Council meeting on Wednesday had not yet seen that there are photos were plastered all over the Sun-Times. So there was significant debate, I guess, at the committee meeting on Tuesday. And what we're going to listen to is some of the debate that happened on Wednesday. So just a little bit on this resolution that was so controversial. It requires the Department of Procurement Services to do three things. First, to gather data on these business enterprises, LGBT business enterprises, how much they are seeking city contracts and the degree to which they're getting city contracts, and even whether they exist, like how many LGBT BEs are there present in the city. Secondly, it asks the department to establish relationships with what they call assistance agencies. So whoever provides assistance, like there's an LGBT Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So it asks the department to reach out to them and find out what services are available to these business enterprises on behalf of those enterprises. And then lastly, it asks the department to report on all this stuff in 1 year to the mayor's office. After that was introduced, the first alderman to speak on this resolution was a member of the City Council's LGBT caucus, which has 5 members, and his name is Alderman Ray Lopez. He's from the South Side's 15th Ward, and let's hear what he had to say.
I reluctantly rise in support of this resolution, not because I don't believe that it is a worthy discussion, and certainly not because I don't support the LGBT community being one of the 5 members of the caucus here. I'm concerned because the opportunity to be manipulated is very great for something that we have no test, have no documentation, no way to verify. We know that we can verify ethnic origin. We know we can identify and verify sex, military status. And even if we're so bold one day to put it set aside for ex-offenders, we can verify that too. But how do you have the gay test? How do you verify that you're a part of a community? There's a risk. I think the city of Chicago should be open to everybody, but we have to be careful. And I commend you and I commend Alderman Vasquez for bringing this conversation forward. But I just say, do it cautiously. Do it in a way so that we don't have the unintended consequences of trying to help our community with an unexpected entry for those who don't necessarily qualify and we have no way of verifying.
Alderman Lopez encapsulates, I think, the concern that other aldermen expressed, that given that there has been abuse around the minority business enterprise and the women business enterprise programs, which have set-asides for percentage of awards for city contracts for those enterprises, those have been abused by, say, you know, white people who have MBE or WBE enterprises that are fronting for these white people. Lopez says, given that those abuses are there, he's looking ahead to saying, well, how are we going to be able to verify that, you know, these other enterprises, as he says, how do we do the gay test, aren't going to be subject to the same abuses. He is, as he said, a caucus member of the LGBT caucus. So it's interesting.
Well, I have to say this is, I think you also played excerpts of Ray Lowe's testimony the last time we were in the show. I forget what the issue was, but I remember playing Ray Lowe. And
it was on the budget.
It was on the budget. I'll say it again. He's come a long way as an alderman. I remember when he was a freshman alderman. What he's saying is absolutely true. And he did it in a very respectful way, I thought, and pointed out the obvious that he didn't say it directly in the excerpt you played. But in the city of Chicago, the impulse seems to be if you can steal a little something, you're going to steal a little something. And we were just talking about this earlier in the show, Dave, when you were still on your bike ride coming out here. The report that was in today's newspaper is about some investigator for the city of Chicago who uses access to private files to pass on the information that was supposedly privileged information to an attorney. So the attorney,
the police investigation.
I'm like, man, I've heard of every scam in the city of Chicago. Here's a new one that even I hadn't thought of before. So yeah, absolutely, the scams that could result from set-aside contracts to people claim they're gay and there's no proof. And so I definitely think he's onto something, but he did it in a very respectful way.
Saying that he was going to support the resolution.
So give Raylo credit there.
So next we're going to listen to Alderman David Moore of the 17th Ward on the South Side. And let's hear what he had to say.
As we sat in committee the other day, that question for me just kept coming up, and I wasn't getting the answer because that better means that something is wrong. And maybe I don't know what that something is wrong is, and that's why I've been asking. Yesterday, I did not get that answer. As I reached out and as I'm looking and I'm seeing that even members of the gay caucus did not sign off on this and wasn't co-sponsors on it, it made me just question even more. It's a big issue right now that we should be fighting, this gay homelessness, because that's what I'm hearing. A lot of our kids are on the streets and being kicked out of the house because they're gay. That frustrates me. And those are the things I want to fight for. What I'm hearing is a problem. So I was frustrated somewhat yesterday that a guy from Washington is doing all the talking and no one from Chicago was saying anything. No one from the community was saying, we got a problem here. I felt insulted because I felt like they had one young black man up there to appease the black people to say, hey, this is okay. And he barely said anything. I was offended by that. As I brought up to the man from Washington, as he's talking about this is in LA, California, I said, okay. He said, well, we increased LGBT numbers high. I said, how many of that was African American? He couldn't give me answers. I'm going to ask for that breakdown. And if I'm not seeing that increase, then that concerns me. Until I can get some more answers, I cannot support this resolution today, and I would ask that we have a roll call on this.
Let's unpack a couple things here. Mm-hmm. Alderman Moore speaks of this expert from Washington, and apparently in the Tuesday committee meeting, the expert that they had was from an organization called the LGBT Chamber of Commerce, which is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and this expert was talking about how they have been an assistant agency for other municipalities that have tried to work to help LGBT business enterprises. Alderman Moore was wondering why there weren't some more local experts talking about the problems of LGBT businesses. The question that he had was, to what degree have these efforts assisted LGBT business enterprises? And he said that he didn't get an answer. A question that I have that I'm not aware was asked is, what is this going to cost, this resolution? Because if you look at the resolution, it asks for not just a study of what are the challenges facing these business enterprises, but it asks the Department of Procurement Services to actually go out and create a clearinghouse of information of technical assistance for LGBT business enterprises. It asks to establish relationships with these so-called assistance agencies. In other words, it's asking them to do some work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is that in the city's budget to have done that work? Are they going to go and do a contract to some agency to have them go and do it? Those are questions I didn't hear. And so it's a question that remains in my mind.
Yeah, well, it's you always want to know the cost of something going out. I would say this falls into the category within reason of a cost worth undertaking.
By the way, I did reach out to the Department of Procurement Services to ask that question. I didn't get an answer.
They didn't get back to you. All right. But the other point that David Moore was raising, he was talking about a problem of kids on the street and homelessness on the street. And this is I gather what he was saying is he was prioritizing, if you will, and we're not dealing with this very important problem, and we're dealing with a secondary problem. So that was the issue. The thing he said, he's going to call for a vote, so he's going to make everybody put it, but they were just going to approve it on a voice vote until he did that?
This interesting technicality with the city council is that they have the option. They actually don't do a roll call vote on most issues. They'll do often a roll call vote for something at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then what they did in this meeting and have done in a lot of meetings is say, I just want the approval of this to be tacked on to the approval of the thing we approved earlier. But he said, I don't want that on this one. I want a roll call vote.
Mm. Obviously, he wanted to be able to say that he voted no because he was the only no vote. It was 47-1, as I recall.
It was.
And he was the no vote. So he wanted the roll call vote so he could say I voted no. David Moore, 17th Ward. What else you got?
These two were sort of immediately rebutted next by the 49th Ward's Maria Haddon from the North Side. And let's listen to what she had to say.
It is difficult to figure out whether to react with humor or with anger to this discussion. I hear lots of words like verification, test, people demanding proof, and that makes me feel all kinds of negative ways about pretty much every argument for every minority and marginalized group that we have ever dealt with in this country, and listening to every dominant group try and find ways to exclude them and be afraid about what you're going to lose. Yesterday, we'll see on the front page of the paper, two respected members of this body featured because they are making light of LGBT issues. Just because you don't understand something, just because it's not your personal experience, does not mean that it is appropriate for you to make light of it. If you have questions, you should get answers. We need to do better. Like, we need to do better, guys. This is a study. We don't know problems until we're told problems. And if someone's coming up with a resolution, it means that we've had groups that say discrimination is an issue. I don't think we need a study to tell us whether this is an issue. We are going to do a study to figure out whether the city of Chicago is going to and should extend business services and to think about this. As someone who is part of a racial minority group, I absolutely share some of the same concerns of making sure that we've got a good policy and a program that doesn't do damage to the types of programs that we already have for our women and minority-owned businesses. Yeah, we got to do better, you guys. Being afraid and not understanding something is never an excuse to outright dismiss it.
Ms. Haddon draws out an important distinction, I think. She says that this is a study. And that's true. According to the resolution, it doesn't ask to create contracting set-asides for LGBT business enterprises as the city currently has for minority and women business enterprises. So given that it's not going down that road, evidently, the question that I have to ask, is this idea of verification a concern? What Alderman Lopez called the gay test, is that even a valid question? If any business enterprise that qualifies as LGBT, if they're only getting technical assistance, mm-hmm. do we care about how rigorous does this verification have to be?
Yeah, I'll put it to you this way, and this gets at the heart of the legitimate part of the discussion as opposed to the theatrics and the bad attempts at humor. For years and years and years, the city of Chicago had been wrestling with the issue of trying to use its resources to help black people, poor black people in neighborhoods that got locked out. And this goes back to the 60s. And I understand the concern that David Moore or Walter Burnett or Jason Irvin have. Here comes another program. Are black people going to get locked out again? And I totally understand and respect that. I think they did a disservice to the issue they were raising when they made references to the Adam Sandler comedy, the name of which I can't remember.
That was Alderman Burnett.
Alderman Burnett, yes. Leave the comedy to the professionals. By the way, there's a Walter Burnett cut right there.
Catch him at Zany's this weekend.
The Walter Burnett cut, which was presented to us by Carlos Ramirez Rosa.
The film is, according to the Sun-Times, it says, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
That was the name of the movie. It was a really stupid joke. Anyway, it's a legitimate concern. That's all I'm saying.
So representing sort of the broader city reaction, is one way to look at it, is Alderman Tom Tunney of the 44th Ward on the North Side. Let's hear what he had to say.
I rise to support the resolution. I was not at the hearing, but as the dean of the LGBT caucus, this is not a new issue to the city council. I brought this up if I'm not mistaken, my first term, I mean, 2003 to 5, somewhere in that range. I got more pushback from my own community than I did from the broader community at the time. And I'll tell you why, because I'm a privileged white guy. I got pushback from the women's community and the Hispanic and African-American community about divvying up a pot among privileged white guys. I withheld that ordinance, I believe, at the request of the LGBT community at that time. So I am in support and actually would ask David Moore if he would not do a roll call vote. We don't need to put ourselves in a situation where we're more divisive about grants and contracts and such. I looked at the resolution and it said many LGBT business people are owners. No, they're not. They're just the same amount as everybody else. So I think that this is a first step. Let's take a look at it. Let's look at the recommendations. Maybe they'll say that things aren't that much different and that we need to make sure that we have opportunities to level the playing field for women and other minority-owned businesses. And folks, we're not there yet. As you all know, that's my 2 cents worth.
It seems that Alderman Tunney is striking a sort of a conciliatory note. He is not anxious to have aldermen go on the record for how they want to vote on this because I think he suspects that that will sort of throw gasoline on the fire. And this was echoed by a couple other aldermen who rose to say, why can't we all just get along? And that was Alderman Irvin went on at length about that, as did Alderman Dowell. Speaking of the Adam Sandler comedy, the alderman who spoke on that was Alderman Walter Burnett of the 27th Ward on the West Side. And here's what he had to say.
The only thing that I did in that committee meeting was I asked questions. I asked the questions. I've been in this council almost 26 years. Every LGBTQ thing that has come to this council, we have voted for. When I was at that meeting, I said that I was concerned that it would take away from the minorities and the women who's already trying to get contracts. We don't have a nice percentage of it already here in this city. So they're still fighting and still struggling just to get the 30%. I contract with gay guys. I give gay folks contracts in my ward. Matter of fact, in my campaign, the guys who did my social media was gay, right? White gay guys. I contract with them, but not because they were gay or because they was white, because they were good. I tell you, most of the ones in business that I know, they're doing pretty good. You know, I've seen over the years female contractors who were being fronted by white men. And I'm concerned about opening up another window for white males to manipulate the system and take something away from African Americans, Hispanics, and real women contractors. You know, we can do everything that's popular. I'm at that phase in my life where I don't have to do what's popular. I want to do what's right. When I have African American gay guys come to me talking about the discrimination in their community and all these other things that's going on, I stand here and I fight for them with the health department with the AIDS money. They have challenges with that right now. I stand up with them because they're African Americans who's having a challenge. I'm not looking at their sexuality or whatever that is. I'm trying to stand up for fairness. I would say the transgenders out of that group, I discriminated against. And I agree with that. But white gay males, I don't think they discriminated against. I think a lot of them do well, they do fine. I'm concerned that folks would try to manipulate this and it would hinder other folks who's trying to get up. God knows, if we didn't have these set-asides in place, a lot of African-Americans wouldn't get jobs, period. And I know that because some of the things we have in place, as soon as they try to go out in the private industry and get it, they don't get anything. Now, you know, I don't have a problem voting on the study. I'm just letting you know I have a concern about the system being manipulated. And I have a concern about maybe helping someone else and hurting some other folks that's already hurting. I'm not gay bashing. You know, I have friends that's gay. I have family members that's gay. You know what I'm saying? I help gay people every day. I do business with gay folks. It ain't about the gay thing. It's about the white male, the white privilege thing that Alderman Tunney says goes on in our society and other folks get discriminated against because of it.
That's all I'm going to play for the alderman who had things to say. I think the rest sort of reiterated what we've heard so far. Mayor Lightfoot rose. I don't think anyone was expecting it. She spoke for several minutes. At the beginning, I'll just point out that it sounds like she's reading. But at one point when I was taking notes, I looked up and saw that she was speaking actually off the cuff. So here's Mayor Lightfoot.
I don't normally speak during city council debates, and I won't use this privilege often. But I feel compelled to speak to this issue. When I was a child, I grew up at a time when racial discrimination was very much on the table. And I heard and witnessed and experienced a lot of offensive, harmful things said in my presence as a black child. As a child, I didn't have the words, the voice, or the strength to speak up. And I bear the shame of my silence to this day. When I was coming out in my 20s, similarly, I was worried about how I would be perceived. And I let people say terrible things about gays and lesbians in my presence. And I was silent. I will be silent no more on any issue when people say and do things that are offensive and racist. I feel like I have an obligation to speak. It's not the questions that are the problem. It is the content of the questions and the offensive nature of the tone and the questions and the concerns, in quotes, that were expressed. And as a leader, as a black gay woman proud on all fronts, I have to say I'm disturbed by the nature of the committee discussion and the nature of the discussion here today. We need not ask anyone's indulgence, patience, or forgiveness or acceptance to be who we are and who we love. And that will never happen as long as I am in this body. And it's also shameful for any member of a discriminated community to give indulgence to offensive words spoken by someone else. In some ways, that's even worse. My friends, the pie is big enough to slice it in lots of other ways. What we are asking for is data, a study to determine where we are. And yes, of course, we need to work on other issues, but we need not victimize, demonize, and discriminate through our words against anyone else, because we are worried about what the size of the pie is going to be for me. So please, our children are watching. Please choose your words carefully in this body. We are leaders. People look to us. They will take our words seriously, as they should. Of course, ask questions. That's what a deliberative body does. But do it in a way that doesn't demonize or victimize anyone else.
So the applause went on for much longer than I have recorded here. And it was interesting for me to note that the applause started in the gallery. The audience got on its feet immediately. And after about 5 or 7 seconds, the alderman looked around and said, maybe we should get up and
The alderman. Oh, it's a little slow. It may be a good idea.
So Mayor Lightfoot put a sort of edge on it that wasn't there up until that point. And I heard you talking about it the other day. She was very adamant, and she clearly felt a certain way. She accused aldermen of doing a couple things. One is being insinuating, like they were hiding their offensiveness by technical terms. She talked about the content of their questions. And she says, asking questions isn't bad. It's what was in your questions, which I didn't like. And she said that there were, not her words, mine, apologists among the ranks. I am inferring she meant that there were gay aldermen who were saying, oh, it's okay to ask those questions. And she found that offensive, too. I think many people were surprised by those comments.
Well, I got to say this. Her line about how she's not going to be silent anymore, right, was very powerful. And I appreciate her saying that and standing up to that. I feel she was absolutely right on to call the alderman out for the silliness of the arguments that they were raising and how they were trivializing issues, very important issues, with the reference to the Adam Sandler comedy. That said, this is a sensitive issue to me, the notion of a pie in the city of Chicago and getting divvied up. I've been writing about city politics for a long, long time, Dave, and you've been talking to me. We've been talking about city politics for a long time, and that is the essential metaphor that I've been troubled by, not the metaphor itself, but the way the pie gets divided. And it's been unfairly divided for many years. We got off at the start with Lori Lightfoot's administration, with it continually being unfairly divided. And I'm listening to all these aldermen talk about this resolution, and I'm like, this is interesting. All these aldermen are defending this resolution, voted for the old handout that we gave, $1.3 billion, which is real money. Legitimate amounts of money just got thrown out. You talk about the pie getting divided. You know, I didn't hear any great debate about the pie getting divided when they were divvying up a huge chunk of it to the north side of the city of Chicago. So,
well, I wonder whether their constituents were as aware of that as they are aware of this. We heard Alderman Moore talk about sort of the homeless issue in his ward. That's a much more visible thing than tax increment financing.
Well, no, I could say, but tax increment financing is property tax dollars that get divided. So think about all your property tax dollars as a giant pie, to use Lori Lightfoot's metaphor, and how that pie gets distributed. You could spend the money dealing with homelessness, youth homelessness. You could spend that money dealing with the problems that gay kids have when they get kicked out of the house or feel compelled to leave the house because their parents are abusive and don't understand them. So you could spend some of that dollars with money for youth services or housing shelters. Or you could spend that money underwriting an upscale development in an already gentrifying neighborhood.
So what the mayor chose to emphasize is interesting.
And by the way, I did not hear one alderman get up at the city council meeting when they were dealing out the pie. We're going to use the pie metaphor. Okay, I did not hear one alderman get up and go, hey, we need more money for youth services for gay kids. I didn't hear an alderman get up and say, we need more money for more mental health clinics. So it is an issue of how you divvy up the pie. And I do think you have to be respectful in the rhetoric you use in the Chicago City Council. And you should try to refrain from making allusions to really bad Adam Sandler comedies. But the issue of the pie and how it gets divvied up is a legitimate issue.
Boy, I got to tell you, I'm craving pie right now.
I have a bagel. I have a bagel here.
So even though there were several aldermen who expressed concerns, as you said earlier, Ben, the vote was 47-1. The only person who voted against in the roll call vote was Alderman Moore. The two aldermen who were missing for that vote were Maldonado.
So he was not one of the, he was not there. It was 47-1.
He was there at the meeting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he walked out of the room so he wouldn't have to be recorded. I'm not sure what happened there. Hmm. The other one not voting was Alderman Howard Brookins of the 21st Ward.
Yeah.
Do you want to have anything else to say about
that? No, I think I've orated enough. Got Dennis hungry for pie. It's just interesting that Mayor Lightfoot used the pie analogy there.
I'm getting all hungry, too.
Yeah.
Are there any good pie places?
Yeah. You can have a half a bagel, like I said.
Sorry, I'll pass. I'll just talk about a couple more things that happened. There were two key appointments that passed the city council. Both of these were for heads of departments that were already acting and had not been approved. First one was for the Chicago Department of Transportation, otherwise known as CDOT. The commissioner's name is Gia Biagi. She was approved. I don't think there was any controversy around there. The one that was somewhat controversial was the head of the Chicago Department of Public Health, Allison Arwadi. When that came before the city council initially, this acting commissioner was not approved because some aldermen objected to the fact that the administration has not followed through on reinstating closed mental health clinics. And some aldermen were using that as a stick with which to sort of beat back this acting commissioner's approval. Apparently, the administration has worked behind the scenes to assure aldermen that the administration is devoting more resources to mental health services. So this time they approved the commissioner.
And they're happy with how that pie is being divided, huh?
There was no discussion about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to remind everybody, in 2011, Mayor Emanuel and the city council approved it by a 50-0 vote, closed six mental health clinics. Shame, shame on the city. Shame on Mayor Rahm. And Lori Lightfoot, as a candidate, promised to open some of those clinics. I don't know if she ever stipulated how many. And as mayor, her first budget does not open them, but she has said that she'll spend money on private entities, so we shall see.
Yeah, in fact, during her initial confirmation hearings, Ms. Arwadi said that it was not the administration's plan to open, any of them.
I will never understand the reservation to opening more mental health clinics. Just think about the example that David Moore gave about homeless kids who feel compelled to leave their home. I would say we need more social services in the city, not less. And I'm a little disappointed in the administration for not opening them, but we'll see. Maybe they're onto something I don't know about. Maybe there's a better way of treating mental health issues by having fewer services available to people.
I think they're a little budget shy, too. I think this administration is reluctant to put in place more things that involve infrastructure, which a brick and mortar clinic would be.
As opposed to infrastructure for upscale apartments. I know there's infrastructure they like and infrastructure they don't like. Oh, infrastructure good for upscale housing. That's really, I love it.
I'm not advocating for the argument.
I mean, infrastructure is infrastructure. You could pay doing anything. You could build a clinic. You could build an upscale condominium. You know?
Hey, how about mental health clinics at the 78 in Lincoln Yards? No.
I would be cheering the mayor on. By the way, I actually began the show today. I don't know if you heard that part, cheering on the planning commissioner who was interviewed by Fran Spielman on her show.
Commissioner Maurice Cox.
Yeah, he sounded just like me with his response to big ticket TIF promo.
He dressed way better than you. I was here for the interview.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take much to dress better than I do.
So David Reifman wasn't a bad dresser.
No, he was a very good dresser, but when it came to how he divided the pie, to use Lori Lightfoot's metaphor, somehow or other, the pie wasn't big enough for poor people in the city of Chicago. It was just only more for the wealthy.
Finally, speaking of large upscale developments, the other thing that I think is of note that passed at this meeting was an ordinance that creates a 6-month moratorium on property demolitions near what's called the 606, which other people call the Bloomingdale Trail, which is on the near north side, just north of North Avenue. It's about a 3-mile-long pedestrian bicycling trail. The aim of this ordinance is to stem redevelopment that's gone on crazily there since the 606 opened. And a recent study showed just how much property values have appreciated. And one of the ways that it's happened is that people have sold their single-family homes or their two flats. Developers came in and put in McMansions and the like. And property values have soared. And rents, of course, have gone up wildly as well. So two aldermen, Maldonado of the 26th and Ramirez Rosa of the 35th, originally proposed an ordinance a while back to put an 18-month moratorium on demolitions to see if they couldn't stabilize this phenomenon. The administration pushed back immediately. And in fact, Alderman Scott Wagasback of the 32nd Ward on the north side also pushed back. He says he thinks that it's probably not legal and would be challenged in court. So Maldonado and Ramirez Rosa evidently got a compromise with the administration, and that's what the final ordinance embodies. It's a 6-month moratorium on demolitions till August. One of the interesting things that happened is this passage came in 20 seconds. But a list of 7 items read by the chairman of the Committee on Housing and Real Estate, Harry Osterman. It happened this quick. Let's hear how quickly it went.
Final item is a substitute ordinance calling for the temporary moratorium of demolition permits within the 606 area from February 1st, 2020 until August 1st, 2020 in the 1st, 26th, and 35th wards. I move passage of this item by the same motion if there's no objection.
Hearing no objection, so ordered.
So passage by the same motion is one of those things I talked about earlier. They're going to tack it on to a previous approval. I was sitting in the press box and reporters looked at each other and said, did they just pass that?
Yeah.
You know, it was that quick.
And she said, no objection. Nobody had time to object.
That's very common.
I was like,
As Dahlia Emanuel did before her, she's learned to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Hearing no objection.
Oh, that's one of the fringe benefits of being mayor. Get that gavel. I hear no objections.
I don't know if it's deliberate to have this flying so much under the radar. It wasn't on any printed agenda that I could see. Like the other 6 items that Osterman brought up were all available on the city council agenda online and in print. And then I looked before I came here. There's a city clerk's a legislation tracking website. It doesn't show any updated status since December. You know, usually it says that once things are approved. So that's a curious thing.
They're divvying up the pie for developers along the 606. They got to get their piece of the pie, too. That's interesting. It was passed like just like that. It brings to mind how they passed the TIF handout to build the DePaul basketball arena and the Marriott Hotel. This is back in the day when Mayor Rahm was calling the shots. And I believe the head of housing was Ray Suarez. And they did it like on a vote. Nobody knew what had happened. What went down? So here's the interesting thing when we talk about divvying up the pie, okay? When it comes to divvying up the pie, perhaps to, you know, get more gay black people a piece of the pie, there's long debate about it. Everybody's orating on it, this, that, the other thing. They have a roll call vote. When it comes to divvying up the pie for developers at 606 to, you know, kind of bury the little proposal to halt construction in that area, maybe not fuel the flames of gentrification, right out the window, no debate, no round. It's funny who gets the pie divvied up.
I'm curious as to what things are going on in the background with Alderman Ramirez Rosa and Alderman Maldonado working with the Department of Planning and Development to figure out what are we trying to learn in this six-month moratorium.
Yeah.
When August comes, what are the criteria for determining what to do next? That's what's not clear at all to me.
All right, very good. We have run out of time and pie with this section of the Dave Glowatz. Our, what do we call him?
City Council Correspondent.
Our City
the Triple
Council,
C.
Triple C. He's also known.
Can I get some teletype sound effect for that later on?
Yeah, I'll get that for next time you come.
He's also known as Mr. Bike, and independent journalist Dave Glowatz does audio and print reporting on Chicagoland government. Find his work on the web at shygov.com.